Chapter 1 of Joshua. It's a very exciting chapter. In fact, the whole book of Joshua is a great study. But you know, someone might ask the question, why should anybody study the book of Joshua? It's an ancient book that gives a grim account of war and slaughter and conquest. Well, if the book of Joshua were fiction, we might accept it as an exciting adventure story. But you know, it's more than that. Listen, the book conveys real history and a part of the inspired Holy Scriptures. But what does it mean to us today? Well, Benjamin Franklin wrote these words back in 1783 when he said, and I quote, "There never was a good war or a bad peace." You know, it's possible that this wise old patriot was wrong for once. After all, God called Joshua to be a general and to lead the army of Israel in holy conquest. But there were bigger issues involved in this conquest than the invasion and the possession of the land. Issues that really touch our lives and our faith today. This is the reason we're going to study this particular portion of Scripture. Now, the book of Joshua is the book of new beginnings for the people of God, and many believers today need new beginnings. Amen? Now, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Israel claimed their inheritance. They enjoyed the blessings of the land that God had given them. And by the way, there's a good verse in Deuteronomy 11:21 that says, "As the days of heaven upon the earth." You know, that's the kind of life that God wants us to experience today. Jesus Christ, our Joshua, wants to lead us in conquest now and share with all, and share with us all the treasures of his wonderful inheritance. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." But too often, we live like defeated paupers. What a new leader needs is not advice, but encouragement. To encourage means to put heart into. General Admiral Jackson once said, and I quote, he says, "One man with courage makes a majority." He's right. As God's people today face the challenges that God gives you and I, we would do well to learn from the threefold encouragement found in this chapter, chapter 1 of Joshua. Now, the first of the threefold encouragements is that God encourages his leader, verses 1 through 9. But let's look, first of all, at the encouragement from God's commission. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." You know, leaders don't lead forever. Even godly leaders like Moses. There comes a time in every ministry when God calls for new beginnings with a new generation and a new leadership. Except for Joshua and Caleb. The old generation of Jews had perished, remember, during the nation's wanderings in the wilderness, and Joshua was commissioned to lead this new generation into a new challenge, and that was entering and conquering the promised land. You know, God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. You see, it was God who had chosen Joshua. And you know, everybody in Israel knew that he was the leader. And we read there in verse 1, Joshua is called Moses' minister. Well, it's a word that describes workers in the tabernacle as well as servants of a leader. Now, Joshua learned how to obey as a servant before he commanded as a general. You see, he was first a servant, then a ruler. God commissioned Joshua to achieve three things. He says, Joshua, lead the people into the land. Then he said, defeat the enemy. Then he said, claim the inheritance. Well, God could have sent an angel to do all this, right? But he chose to use a man and give him the power that he needed to get the job done. And then we see the encouragement from God's promises. Let's look at verses 3 through 6. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Wow. And you know, God gives us the same encouragement. Since Joshua had a threefold task to perform here, God gave him three special promises. He gave him one for each task. God would enable Joshua to cross the river, claim the land, we read there in verses 3 and 4. Defeat the enemy, we read there in verse 5. And apportion the land to each tribe as its inheritance. God didn't give Joshua a lot of explanations. Listen, God's people live on promises. They don't live on explanations. Amen? When you trust God's promises and step out in faith like Joshua did, you can be sure that the Lord will give you the directions that you need when you need them. Let's just go over the things that God promised Joshua. Number one, God promised Joshua that Israel would enter the land. Now, over the centuries, God had reaffirmed this promise from the first words to Abraham, way back in Genesis chapter 12, to the last words that he spoke to Moses in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 4. See, you see, God had already given the land. It was their responsibility now to step out by faith and claim it. The same promise of victory that God has given to Moses, he reaffirmed here to Joshua. And he carefully defined the borders of the land. Look what he said in verse 3. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. The lesson for God's people today is clear. God has given us all spiritual blessings in Christ. Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And we must step out in faith and claim them. Amen. He has set before this church an open door that nobody can close. In fact, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, the Lord is speaking here to the churches. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, hast kept the word, and hast not denied thy name. And you know what? We must walk through that door by faith and claim new territory for the Lord. Another thing that God promised, God also promised Joshua victory over the enemy in verse 5. What a promise God gave to Joshua. Look what he said. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never fail thee or forsake thee. You know, best of all, God has given this promise to you and I today. The Gospel of Matthew opens up with Emmanuel, God be with us. And then it closes with Jesus saying in Matthew 28, verse 20, lo, I am with you always. This means that God's people can move forward in God's will and be assured of God's presence. If God be with us, who can be against us? Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 31. The third promise to Joshua was that he would divide the land as an inheritance for the conquering tribes. You see, this was God's assurance that the enemy would be defeated and that Israel would possess their land. Now, the book of Joshua records the fulfillment of these three promises. In fact, the first in chapters 2 through 5, the second in chapters 6 through 12, and then the third in chapters 13 through 22. Now, before God could fulfill his promises, however, Joshua had to exercise faith and be strong and of good courage. We read there in verse 6. God's sovereign word is an encouragement to God's servants to believe God and obey his commands. I like the way Charles Spurgeon put it, and I quote, he said, Joshua was not to use the promises as a couch upon which his indolence might luxuriate, but as a girdle wherewith to gird up his loins for future activity. In other words, he was saying, God's promises are prods, not pillows. Now let's look at an encouragement from God's word. Look at verses 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, it's one thing to say to a leader, be strong, be very courageous, and then quite something else to enable him to do it. Joshua's strength and his courage would come from meditating on the word of God, believing in its promises, and obeying its precepts. You see, this was the counsel Moses had given to all the people, and now God is applying it specifically here to Joshua. Joshua had to take time to read it daily and make it a part of his inner person by meditating on it. Meditate means to mutter. You know, by the way, I was reading in Acts chapter 8, and the Jews read scripture aloud, and they talk about it to themselves and to one another. And this kind of explains why God warned Joshua that the book of the law was not to depart out of his mouth. And then there was the encouragement from God's commandment there in verse 9. Look what it says. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Boy. You know, God's commandments are still God's enablements for those who obey by faith. By the way, Gabriel's words to Mary are true to this day as when they were spoke back then in Nazareth. For God, nothing shall be impossible. Listen, the very word that God speaks has in it the power of fulfillment if we will just trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I like that. Let's look at how Joshua encourages his officers. Let's read verses 10 through 15. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals. In other words, prepare your supplies. For within the 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. The nation of Israel, I believe, was so organized that Moses quickly communicated with the people through his officers, who formed a chain of command. Moses didn't assemble the leaders to ask for advice, but he gave them God's orders. 40 years before at Kadesh Barnea, the nation had known the will of God, but you know what happened? They refused to obey it. Why? Because they believed the report of the 10 spies. Instead of believing the commandment of God and obeying by faith. Listen, if they had listened, just listened to Caleb and Joshua, who were the minority report, they would have spared all those difficult years of wandering and floundering in the wilderness. You see, there's a place in Christian service for godly counsel. But a committee report is no substitute for a clear commandment of God. Instead of a command to prepare food, you would have expected Joshua to say, Hey, men, prepare the boats and so we can cross the Jordan River. No. You see, he and Caleb were there when God delivered the nation from Egypt. And they had confidence that God would work on their behalf again. You see, even though he trusted God for the miracle, Joshua still had to prepare for everyday necessities of life. Notice Joshua's words here to the leaders in verse 11. He says, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan and to go into to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Notice, you shall pass over. You shall possess the land. The Lord's going to give it to you. Remember, Joshua had given a similar speech 40 years before. But that generation was dead. And the new generation was ready to believe God and conquer the land. Now let's see now the officers, how they encourage Joshua, their leader. Look at verses 16 through 18. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against the commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. In verse 16, notice here that pronoun they. And they answered Joshua. It probably refers to all the officers that Joshua had addressed, and not to the leaders of the 2.5 tribes. What an encouragement they were to their new leader. You encourage your pastor. You pray for him. You go up and tell him what a great sermon that was, how it blessed your heart. Put a note in his box once in a while and tell him you love him. You know, pastors need our prayers. They're no different than you and I. Satan attacks them just like he does us, sometimes worse. But these leaders, they encourage Joshua by assuring him of their complete obedience. Look at the first part of... Look at verse 16, the first part of verse 17. And he answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee." Command us, and we will obey. Send us, and we will go. These officers had no hidden agendas. And they asked for no concessions. They would obey all of his commands and go wherever he would send them. Stop and think a minute. Wouldn't that be great if we had that kind of commitment in the church today? Amen? Too many times we're just like the men it talks about in Luke chapter 9. Each putting something personal ahead of following the Lord. Joshua didn't have to explain or defend his orders. He just simply had to give the orders, and the men would just obey. Well, let's look at some ways they encouraged Joshua. First of all, the officers encouraged Joshua by praying for him. In verse 17, they said, "The Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses." You know, the best thing we can do for those who lead us is to pray for them daily and ask God to be with them. We need to keep our leaders in our prayers every day. Joshua was a trained man. He had all kinds of experience, but that was no guarantee for his success. No Christian worker succeeds to the glory of God, listen to me, apart from prayer. Oh, listen, I could never teach without the power of prayer on my behalf. This is why Pastor put it in the bulletin, so people would pray for me during this week. We can't do it on our own. We can't do anything on our own. You know, I like what Corrie Ten Boom said. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? This question especially applies to those in leadership. When Joshua didn't pause to seek the mind of God, what happened? He failed. And if you read chapters 7 through 9, you'll see where he failed. And we'll do the same thing when we take our eyes off the Lord and try to do everything in our own strength. And another way they encouraged Joshua was by assuring him that their obedience was a matter of life and death. Think about it. Look at verse 18 again. Well, that's a strong verse. "Whatsoever he be that doth rebel against the commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." You know, I think they took their leadership and their responsibility pretty seriously. Later, Achan, remember the story? He didn't take Joshua's orders seriously. He was killed. Acts chapter 7. Listen, if God's people today saw obedience to Christ as a matter of life and death, it would make a big difference in our ministry to the lost. Think about it. We obey the Lord's orders if we feel like it. if it's convenient, if we can get something out of it. Listen, with soldiers like that, Joshua would have never conquered the promised land. Finally, they encouraged Joshua by reminding him of the word of God. It says there in verse 18, be strong and of good courage. Yeah, Moses told Joshua to be good courage, be of good courage, when he sent him and the other men into Canaan, remember, to spy out the land. Then what happened? Moses repeated the words when he installed Joshua to be his successor. The words were written in the book of the law, and Joshua was commanded to read the book and meditate on it day and night. Look at verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Four times in this chapter, you find the words, be strong and of good courage. We read it in verse 6, verse 9, verse 7, verse 18. If we are to conquer the enemy and claim the inheritance in Christ, we need spiritual strength and spiritual courage. You know, Paul wrote in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Charles Wesley wrote this, and I quote, soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies of his eternal Son. I would just like to say in closing that the first step towards winning the battle and claiming the inheritance is to let God encourage us so that we can encourage others. A discouraged army, listen, is never victorious. I'll close with those words. Brother Tim, why don't you dismiss us in prayer, if you would, please.